A lot of us might not live here without the mountains and the rivers. I mean, think about it. Our corner of the world, flat and dry, sounds like Nebraska. Rivers and mountains, no offense to Nebraska. Rivers and mountains will be celebrated this weekend in the Illinois Valley of Oregon. The Hathcapasuta River Celebration comes to the Cave Junction area, a continuation of a tradition that dates back quite a few years. Let's hear more about it. We have two guests with us, the organizers from the Cultural and Ecological Enhancement Network, or CEEN. Tim Leba is here with us. Hey, well, Tim.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Good to have you here. And Suzanne Vadier is here as well. Good to
how
have you
doing?
Here. So tell us about CEEN and how it all got started.
Well, the Cultural and Ecological Enhancement Network came out of some projects that were happening in the Illinois Valley, like the Acorn Festival. We're in year number 9 now. We were putting together an event, and we realized we needed a nonprofit to help back it because it was going to be such a big thing. So CEEN's been really active in the community with a number of projects. Acorn Festival's one, and also we do a lot of noxious weed work, doing restoration type of work and educational activities also.
So just general community improvement kind of, let's make this a better place for all of us to live kinds of things.
Yes.
Tell us about the name Hathcapasuta.
Well, Hathcapasuta is an Athabascan word in the Illinois Valley. That's the people that were there, the Athabascan people. And it literally means family gathering by the river, river celebration. And it's beautiful.
It's so you're basically using the name of River Celebration in a different language for your own River Celebration.
Oh, yes. We mm-hmm. want to keep up the tradition.
Quite a bit of history behind the celebration. Take us back in time to some of the earlier versions of this.
Well, you know, it actually started in about 1998 when they had the first river celebration, but it actually started in the 40s when the park actually first got built. In the 1940s, some of the local people, the big ranchers, had big equipment, so they decided to make a road that went to the parks, because before they would just walk through the woods into the park and park on the side of the 199, the corridor. And when they did that, they had a wonderful place to go swimming, and they made that the city swimming hole. And through the 40s, you know, for about 20 years, it was just a dirt road. And in 1960, the city of Cave Junction decided they were going to pave it. And they did, and it was wonderful. And since then, they just kept on making improvements because the people, the community, wanted people to have ownership.
So it's always been a community place. It was a popular swimming hole. And in 1962, the state park leased some land from BLM to make it a state park. And the idea was they wanted to have a state park there along the scenic corridor of the Redwood Highway 199. So it became a state park, but it continued to be a community place. Most of the improvements have all been from the community members. And then in 1995, some of the local people realized that we needed to do some more improvements to the park, because of increased use. So in 1998, it was decided that we'd start Hathcapasuta River Celebration to bring the people together to enjoy the park and also bring attention to the needs of the park. And over the next 6 years, we had this really great, awesome event for the children. It was fun and educational right there by the river. And also in that time period, there was a lot of more improvements to the park from the community members. We put in a gazebo and did a whole lot of bathrooms and everything. So it continued to be the community doing it, not the state, though it was a state park.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about, because it sounds like you're putting a lot of work into this as people who live nearby for a state park. So what makes it a state park other than the state owns the land? Do they do any maintenance on it?
They do some maintenance on it, taking care of like the lawns and everything. But a lot of the brushwork and a lot of the activity there and the cleanups have been all community members.
Along with the city and the people of the area, they did so many improvements. They even had water put in because we had bathrooms put in there, the city did. And when they had a master plan, some of the bridges around town were needed repair. Well, that on the east fork of the Illinois River, that one also needed repairing. And when they repaired the bridge, they took out the water that the city had put in, and they never put it back. And from that point on, it started to decline a little bit more and a little bit more. And after 6 years, the people, the community, and the organizers, which there was about seven people that actually organized the first half Kapusutta. And when they did organize it, every year it just got better and better and better. All the way to the sixth year that they did it, it was great. It was so big and so wonderful. But other people had other projects, and other people were sort of burnt out, and it just stopped. It's not that, you know, that it started getting weak or started slowing down. It just stopped because people were doing other projects. For about 11 years, we didn't have Hath Kapusutta. And people in the community, especially older folks, would always mention Hath Kapusutta to me. And they're mentioning Hath Kapusutta, and they're talking about it. And I'm like, well, what really is Hath Kapusutta? Who put it on? So I found out the major people that put it on. And Roger Brandt was a major component in that. Menno Cry, that works at the Oregon Caves and with IBCDO, was a major part of that. And they just got everybody together. And Roger, to this day, probably right now, he's watering trees that he just put in at the park.
You knew how hard people had worked on this. That was there any, I mean, so, Tim, did you have any reservations about taking on a job as big as putting on the Hath Kapusutta celebration?
Well, once we were talking to Perry from the state parks, and a lot of things were happening. And when they decided that they wanted to close the parks again, the community went in an outrage. And we went all the way up to Salem to talk to them, and we got it changed around. And when that happened, I decided, why don't we just start Hath Kapusutta again and get the river celebration going?
So, so the first resurgence of Hath Kapusutta was 2014. And then we had a ribbon cutting celebration where we had BLM and the state parks do a ceremony to symbolize deciding to renew the lease because of the community outrage about having it shut down. The big thing also about it being shut down was not only were they going to close the park, but they were insisting that the community rip out all of the improvements we had done. They told us we were going to have to rip out the road, the parking lot, the bathrooms, the gazebo, all these things that we had done over the years, and we were going to have to pay for it.
This was just a part of the budget-cutting thing when several state parks were on the line?
Yes, yes. And they said that we had to put it back to its natural state before we started working on it in 1940s. So that would be a financial burden on the community, and we would be losing a really important park in our community.
Suzanne Vaudier and Tim Leba are with SEEN, the Cultural and Ecological Enhancement Network in the Illinois Valley. They are the organizers for the Hath Kapusutta River Celebration coming this weekend to Illinois River Forks State Park. That's the state park we're talking about. Questions, comments, and observations, welcome by phone on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So a couple of periods of decline and renewal, it sounds like, running through that park.
Yes, it was. And then when they decided that they were going to renew the lease, we had the big celebration, and our first Hath Kapusutta, we had over 1,400 people there. And it was funny because I have a photo of the BLM and the state parks, the head of the BLM and the head of state parks in that section. They were scratching their heads because they couldn't believe how such a wonderful thing it was and all the families that got together. And then the next day, they came because they thought there was going to be a big mess. Well, they were wrong. Because when they showed up, they asked me, did you really have a celebration there?
Because it was that clean?
Yes.
So talk about the celebration itself. I mean, what the elements of it are and whether you're trying to bring back echoes of things that happened from native populations that lived there hundreds of years ago.
Well, what it is we wanted to make it like it used to be because it was a big thing. And at the very last one, it was pretty big. You know, they used to have – it was educational for the children mainly and for families to be able to do educational things with their children. You know, that's what it's all about, our children, you know, and we got to keep that alive. And then one of the aspects we did, because the state parks really like that themselves, is that we brought the native aspect into it. So we started off with Agnes Pilgrim. She was our first speaker.
Tawhaiwi. She's been here within the last year.
There you go. And then we had the Karuk people. That weekend that we had it, though, they had a special outing that they had to do. So they sent a couple of representatives, and they weren't able to come themselves, but we did represent the Karuk Nation. And then this year, we have the Tututni elders from the coast here coming. And next year, we'll have the Talawa people coming.
So it's several different tribes and nations represented here.
Well, I'm trying to represent all the nations of Southern Oregon, you know, because some of them are recognized and some of them aren't. Like the Tututni people, they're not recognized, but they have some of the oldest dealings with BLM that are written. So I don't know why they shouldn't be recognized. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Suzanne, it seems like there was something you wanted to add a moment ago.
Yes, it's all about education and educating the children. And there's really very little information about the native people of our area. So any chance that Scene gets to, kind of flesh out that history and the culture, that's part of why we do the Acorn Festival in October. Teaching kids about the local foods. Acorn was a really important part of the diet. Close to 50% of the native diet was acorns. So, just bringing up this, the history, the native history, and also the history of the forests and rivers, and, how important they are to all of us. To appreciate where we live.
Is there food served that harkens back to like the acorn-based diet, things like that?
There might be some acorn bars over at the Scene booth. Uh-huh. But mostly Hath Kapasuta is about activities, a lot of art kind of activities, a lot of free stuff to do all day long. And it is a free event. We really want to encourage people to bring their kids. And there's music, live music all day. And it's a really fun event right by the river.
And there's also two rivers. There's the East Fork of the Illinois River and the West Fork of the Illinois River, which make the main fork of the Illinois River.
Right there. That's mm-hmm. why it's called the Illinois River Forks State Park. Mm-hmm. It's not just a free in admission. Now, there will be things for sale there, I see, too. But it is also drug and alcohol free.
Yes, it is. It's also a drug and alcohol free event. You know, it's about our children. We don't need anything like that to spoil that.
Mm-hmm. How do you get the educational component conveyed to today's audience of screen happy kids that might not venture outside that much?
Well, we have a lot of activities. Some of the different organizations, the Illinois Valley Art Council, they have a table there that has all kinds of art crafts and everything. Kids always like the crafts. And I know in the past we've had rock painting and making all kinds of different things and bringing that in an educational way so that they learn about the area as they're having fun.
And one of the biggest things is we have a giant puppet parade.
I was just about to ask about that. I see the giant puppet parade at noon, and then there's a puppet skit at 1:15.
Yes, that's by K.S. Wild. The K.S. Wild is going to have a puppet show that is the How the Hummingbird Saved the Forest from the Forest Fire. And then we have Jill Talese and her puppets. We have over 30 puppets. Everyone's welcome to join in and be a puppet if they'd like. Last year we had most of all of her puppets there. She said it was the biggest parade she's ever had, mm-hmm. and it was wonderful.
And these puppets we're talking about are like, 12 feet tall?
I've seen the
like
coyote
that.
Puppet in parades before. It's
yes.
a very tall puppet. Yeah.
Yes, and that's from...
Somebody wears it is what it goes on.
Yes, it's like a backpack underneath. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting the way that you work it inside and everything. So there's a whole bunch of puppets. She's bringing all her puppets there, and we have a big parade, and the kids and everybody are all invited to join in the parade.
So what did you guys learn from putting on Hath Kapasuta in year one that made year two better? And what have you learned from the first 2 years that's going to make year three better?
Trying to make it like it used to be, just making it better and better every year. More and more people are privy to it. More and more people are talking about it. This year, I made a lot less phone calls, and more people were calling me. And I think it's going to be a great event. I hope everybody could make it there, definitely.
And you said about 1,400 people last time?
Yes, we had about 1,400 people. We have lots of parking. We did used to have the Lions Club train, but unfortunately, it had some mishaps, so we're not going to have it this year. Other than that, we have food, we have lots of music. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And it sounds like a lot of work for you guys, but I see you're still smiling.
Yeah, it's a labor of love.
Talk about the future, though. I mean, it's been enough of a struggle, clearly, through the years of trying to just maintain the presence of Illinois River Forks State Park there. So, I mean, you're always sort of constantly on guard for somebody coming in and saying, you know what, yeah, you won't be able to do this for this reason, or this reason.
Well, we've been working with the state parks. We have a symbiotic relationship with them. And Perry, that actually runs the park there, he's a very good gentleman. He's been nice so far, and with Roger Brandt's help, we just got a bunch of new picnic tables and chairs put in there, permanent, and he's put over, I don't know, maybe 50 trees in, and he's been watering them every day, because this is very crucial that he has a water there right now. And it's just getting better and better. We just made the wheelchair accessible trails a lot more accessible. We have a disc golf there that we just had put in, and we're just putting in 9 more holes. They're working on that right now, and it's just getting better and better.
And you know, the community is putting all this time and energy into the park, but there is always that possibility that they're not going to renew the lease again. We have 5 years, so that's, 2 more years, and it'll come up again. And if they try to close it, we're going to go back to Salem again, and we're just going to keep on fighting to keep it open, because it's so close to the city of Cave Junction. It's so accessible to the local families and their children that it just really needs to stay open.
Okay, families, children, all kinds of people out there this weekend for the historic Half-Capasuda. Okay, finally tripped on it. It was bound to happen. Half-Capasuda Illinois River Celebration. It'll be on Saturday from 10 to 6 at the Illinois River Forks State Park. It's a quarter mile south of Cave Junction. I want to thank Tim Leba and Suzanne Vautier from the Cultural and Ecological Enhancement Network, or SEEN, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Best of luck with the celebration.